Chaturvyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Suvasan Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Damodar,
get this choking. Get this, put it here. And see that bottle of water? It's right there. Continuing the answer to the lecture. Yesterday, some devotees expressed perception of some that I am strict. But actually, if you want a guru who's not strict, then you don't want a guru. Guru is supposed to tell you what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And if he doesn't, then what's the meaning? Blessing machine. Here's something you shouldn't do, which is to chant rounds during class. Those who are chanting rounds are requested to divert their hearing toward the class. Well, I guess one lady heard that doesn't understand English. She could go to the relevant translation. Right next to you, there's Srinivas Srinivas. These ladies at the back, they don't. If they want to hear, they can go and hear the translation, whichever one is appropriate for them. Yeah, about strictness and instruction. Maybe I'm stressing some things more than should be required. Could be said that closely following Srila Prabhupada, not closely following, one leads to not do what he says. And maybe another way is to put more stress on things that he said than he, Srila Prabhupada, personally did. For instance, I probably put more stress on wearing devotee clothes than Srila Prabhupada did. So, that might be considered somewhat fanatical. But, I'll just explain that to you. When Srila Prabhupada was personally present among us, it was widely understood and accepted and practiced that devotees wore devotee clothes. And it was uncommon that initiated devotees would, for instance, go into the temple wearing shorts or some dirty old jeans, some t-shirt with some ridiculous motif on it. But that's quite common nowadays. So I'm just an example, I'm stressing on the point, maybe more than Srila Prabhupada did, because the need is more. Than previously. Srila Prabhupada, as he often stressed himself, someone might request this gentleman at the back who's probably signing his big bag and is shaking it. You might want to listen to the class, for which you might have to go elsewhere for translation. He probably has to go somewhere else to hear the translation. Srila Prabhupada stressed that he is the founder of Acharya Goswami. And I would like to advise my disciples to always take shelter within ISKCON. Now and after my departure from this world. However, we often find that in certain areas where ISKCON is functioning or under the supervision of certain leaders within ISKCON, the shelter isn't very sheltering. It's not always very sheltering, unfortunately. You don't know about that much, Divya Prem, because you're in Dubai, where the leader is amazingly Krishna conscious and nourishing to all the devotees. One of the best leaders I know. Shiva. I don't go on and on about this. We've talked about it in various seminars, realities of ISKCON today and so on. Find good association. Try to find good association within ISKCON. That's the great boon of human life, if we can get that. By getting good association, we can cross over the ocean of birth and death. Apart from the sometimes lack of shelter or lack of nourishment that is sometimes some places, there are also various deviations from what Srila Prabhupada has given. Yesterday that was mentioned, Vasudev Datta Prabhu mentioned that there was what was unthinkable. GBC body passed a resolution to add explanations of some of Srila Prabhupada's controversial statements within his books. In other words, to add their own interpretation, which is very dangerous. So it just shows the point that they're our movement, like any other religious movement within this perverse material world, is quite capable of very seriously deserting the teachings of its founder, betraying them. So, yeah, remain faithful to ISKCON, but there might be a limit to, I mean, we shouldn't be faithful to, if for instance there are offenses to Srila Prabhupada, it's not that we just have to, definitely shouldn't blindly follow whatever is cooked up in the less than transcendental pressure cooker of perverse minds. I just heard one. Vyasaputta himself praising Srila Prabhupada. The latest brilliant theory making the rounds is that, well, maybe Srila Prabhupada is not a nitya siddha. So there you go. So, otherwise, how could he admit? I don't know. I mean, what's the implication of that? We can judge. I guess whoever says that, they consider themselves a nitya siddha because they can consider better. So, yeah, he said many things, but many things we don't agree with, so he must be wrong. I guess that's the implication. So, I don't think there's much need to. Maybe at some point we have to write a paper, explain why Srila Prabhupada and Nitya Siddha and not a conditioned soul who somehow or other was struggling to chant his rounds, and then he went through anartha nivritti and he gave up all his material attachments and gradually became a pure devotee. So I don't think we need to. But there may be a need for that also, because it's just like Maya. It's so completely nonsensical. There are a lot of people who think that it's right. And therefore the Vaishnava Acharyas have expended much energy and written innumerable books establishing the reality of the personality of Godhead, the reality of the jiva different to and subordinate to the personality of Godhead, the eternality of that relationship. So, if you think about it, there's really no more nonsense theory in the whole world than Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Spiritual is real and this world is false. But people are in Maya. They have a false conception of life. Therefore they think it's true. They're actually convinced that it's true. So it may be necessary, maybe in not a very short time. Actually, anyway, I won't get into it. I hope that I'm not under the impression that Srila Prabhupada was just happened to somehow or other become Krishna conscious. So, yeah, I'm sorry, I mean, I do speak explicitly like that. I think it's my duty as a guru to tell you that. It's my duty to tell you what is right and what is wrong. And it's not, it's by no means guaranteed that just if you have a sign ISKCON in the door that everything inside must be right. So it's not, you may think, well, that diminishes people's faith in ISKCON. We should have faith in that which is real, not have faith in that which is unreal. Even if it's not the sign that makes it real. Just like it's not the title that makes someone a guru or a sannyasi. It has to be, you have to actually have the quality. Yeah, that's that. Because a person speaks the truth, he's a guru. Not that because he's
got an institutional approval guru, that whatever he says is true. That's a misunderstanding, common misunderstanding that people have. This is, of course, a preaching movement. Srila Prabhupada is ISKCON. Prabhupada also sometimes quoted the English saying, charity begins at home. So, it's preaching within our movement. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said that on one occasion, he said that, I believe it's in one letter, Srila Prabhupada said that the sannyasi should preach to the devotees and the devotees should preach to the general public. But I think that's more in the West, where in the West the level of preaching is very simple. Very, very simple. I can't imagine living in India how rudimentary the preaching has to be. And also people have no idea what is a sannyasi. Whereas the role of sannyas is a useful tool for preaching in India and among devotees in the West, some of them. Charity begins at home. Srila Prabhupada said that once when in one airport where Srila Prabhupada was being received, the devotee brought some prasad and started distributing it to all the public. And Prabhupada said that, we'll distribute it to our devotees. The devotee who's distributing the prasad said that, well, they get prasad all the time, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, charity begins at home. So he wanted that. On that occasion, he wanted the prasad to distribute it to the devotees. To the devotees who are present. Before ISKCON is to save the world, ISKCON has to be fit. It's not just that we're spreading Krishna consciousness, but it shouldn't be spread so thinly that we can't even recognize it. There should be. Movement should be strong, as Srila Prabhupada stressed, that if the devotees, they follow the four regulated principles, chant minimum 16 rounds daily, rise early, follow all these programs, that will be the spiritual strength. Otherwise, to spread widely in and of itself is meaningless. There are so many Shri Shris and Babas have a wide, I won't say following because there's really not much to follow, but they're widely known and popular. And many people consider them their followers, but there's no benefit whatsoever. So we have to make our own society strong. And when people come, and we're distributing books, we're holding programs, we want people to come and take to Krishna consciousness. But it's not just a matter of sticking a bead bag in their hand and getting them to mumble or somehow or other move their fingers so that the mala goes around 16 times and in the meantime some kind of sound comes out of their mouth, and then you initiate. That's not our aim. We want people to be Krishna conscious. We want them to understand what they're doing, why they're doing. And then they'll remain doing what they're doing. So there's consideration of quality and quantity. So both are important. It's not that people have to be a Paramahamsa Mahabhagavat before they're ready for initiation. anyone who's steady, at least somewhat steady, seen in course of time, applying themselves to this process, they should be accepted for initiation. But at the same time, we should understand that they're not going to remain steady unless they are really committed to the process. That has to be seen. Some strictness is, liberality and strictness, both are required. We shouldn't be so liberal that we just initiate every living being that comes within the course of our two eyes, as sometimes happens. We shouldn't be so strict that, like I said, you have to be practically ready to go back to Godhead before you get initiated. So quality and quantity, we want to give people solid basis in Krishna consciousness so that they can advance better. Be satisfied with Krishna consciousness. They can be satisfied. If devotees are actually practicing Krishna consciousness, then they will be satisfied in Krishna consciousness. If they're not actually practicing, then their mind will be disturbed in so many ways. So if devotees are actually practicing and understanding Srila Prabhupada's mission, then they'll become productive members of this mission. Productive means that they won't, of themselves, they won't be satisfied simply to sit at home and do a little bhajan. But they themselves will feel the urge to go out and distribute this knowledge or take part in the distribution of this knowledge. Rupa Goswami prayed for many tongues and ears to relish Harinam. Srila Prabhupada provided many tongues and many ears to Rupa Goswami by bringing so many people into Krishna consciousness. They're all Rupa Anugas, followers of Rupa Goswami. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Ekale Malaka Ame Kaha Kaha Jana. I'm just one person. How many places can I go to? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who of course can expand himself in many forms, he was saying, I need help. But actually, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expands himself as his devotees, Srila Prabhupada is an expansion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, inasmuch as he's carrying the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has three manifestations: Sakshat, Avesh, and Avibhav. His direct presence. He is personally entering the body of someone and he's empowering someone. So Srila Prabhupada was empowered with the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and therefore acted in a manner which only Bhagavan himself or a person imbued with the same power as Bhagavan in a certain matter, in the matter of preaching, is able to do. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expands himself through his devotees for preaching. And Srila Prabhupada also expressed it. I'm just one old man, he said. How much can I do? So he sent devotees out, and in this way they helped him in various ways. And the Krishna conscious movement spread wonderfully all over the world. So devotees, they go on serving the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Then they will be empowered by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which he is carrying. Otherwise, if devotees simply quarrel among themselves, and if maybe something like the Yadu Vamsha, they become, even though they are members of Krishna's family, they become a burden on the earth rather than the benefiting the earth. They become a burden on the earth. So I request all of you to not just think what you can do for your own spiritual advancement. So many times devotees come and ask, well, how can I make advancement? Actually, it's not that. The process itself is not that difficult or complicated that we have to keep on going on asking. It's a very simple and straightforward process. Application, that's up to us. But the process itself is very simple. But rather, instead of thinking all the time, how can I make advancement, better to think that, how can we help others to come to Krishna consciousness? And if we do that, then automatically, we ourselves become benefited. So, we should all become arms, legs, fingers, eyes, or Srila Prabhupada said that ISKCON is his body, so we all have various functions to perform in the universal form of Srila Prabhupada. Someone gave that example in one Vyasa Puja. It's figurative, don't take it as a fact. But there are many services to be performed. And within Srila Prabhupada's family, there are so many sub-families. You're all in my sub-family. And then you should also go out and make your own families of devotees. Expand the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada once, after initiating, I believe it was in New York, he was walking back to the apartment he was staying in. He wasn't staying in the temple. He said, we have increased the sampradaya of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I request you to assist in Srila Prabhupada's service. You may also assist me in my service to Srila Prabhupada. Just like Rupa Goswami was praying for many ears and tongues, so I also need many arms to help. There's a lot of work to do. Because you're going to get arms and be like Bhamasura. And just so many arms, but they're just troublesome. And Krishna had to come. Well, even if Krishna was to, you see, Krishna cut off Banasura's arms because he was causing so much trouble. But he left two, because Banasura was a devotee of Lord Shiva, was very dear to Krishna. Krishna left Banasura with two arms, and then Bhagavasura used those two arms to beat the drum for Lord Shiva to dance to. So instead of having many arms which were causing trouble, he got reduced to two arms and then he did some service. So the intent to perform service is the essence. It's not a matter of having many followers or many arms, but the intent to perform service. But Krishna would have left Banasura's arms on if he hadn't wanted to beat up everybody with them, make a nuisance of himself. So we should all try to expand our activities in a manner that is pleasing to Krishna. And many things to do. Many, many. Those whose minds are attuned to the need for preaching can see that there's so much work to do. There's so much, it's almost overwhelming. Ahari ahadi bhutani gachanti hayamalaya. Every day, so many people are going, dying, without knowledge of Krishna. Every day there's a disaster. And so many people have attained this human form of life in the period when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement is active, but they don't hear about Krishna. They don't take interest in Krishna. And they die useless. So devotees have to try to help them. We may not be able to do everything immediately, but we should, whatever we can, we should try to do something. There's so much work to do. Apart from going out directly and preaching, there's a lot of backup work to do, just like publishing books. If the books aren't published, then how will they be distributed? Making farm communities, so that people, when they come to Krishna consciousness, they can live in association with devotees in a simple manner. They don't have to work long hours, under stress, in bad association, and live simply in association with devotees, get some fresh air, take healthy foodstuffs, nice prasadam instead of all this rotten, genetically mutilated, poison-filled food. Well, they call it food, which is the norm nowadays. So there's huge amount of work to do. In Gurukul, it's another of Srila Prabhupada's important projects, which has become almost not only forgotten, but it's just like the jiva becomes covered by maya. So within our society, our gurukuls have become covered by mundane schools in the name of gurukul. So that's, apart from Gurukul Maharaj's Gurukul in Mayapur, everyone has given up on that, but that requires to be established all over the world. Actual education. Instead of education, how to be a fool, how to be a shudra, how to go to hell. Actual education. Omara Acharya Pragyo Dharman Yogatanya. Durlabham Anusham Jani Tadapya Pivamarita. In the beginning of life, friendship there in Bhavat Dharma. One who is very intelligent, actually intelligent, can see the need for that. Because people are not intelligent. Because people are foolish. They think the need is to train my child to become a normal person, which means a fool and a rascal. If he doesn't have a good education, then how will he live? So we'll send him to a school where they teach all kinds of nonsense, and maybe they're vegetarian. Or maybe they even chant Hare Krishna for 10 minutes a day, and then they just teach you all nonsense the rest of the day. But that's not Gurukul. Gurukul means to learn about Krishna. Gurus don't teach how to go to heaven, how to get it. Some certificate that you are a certified ledger. This is your certificate. Ready to go. So this, all these are required immediately, not only immediately, years ago, all these things should be required. So there is much work to do on many fronts. I'm also, my main thrust of my service is also writing books, so that also requires much help. It's not everyone that can do that. It requires a certain studious and surrendered mentality to do that, because it's a lot of work making books. Those who have not done it, especially making well-researched books, of course, anyone with an imaginative flair can write some stream of consciousness poems. In other words, whatever just comes out of your mind, you can write it down. Well-researched and carefully presented books takes much time, much research, much thought, much patience, and it's not really that much fun. So, those who can help with it, translating also. There's so much service to do in that regard. Those who can help with that, please do so. Last year, that's Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, this book came out. And that was a major breakthrough in as much as it's a major work, because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is a major person. Understanding Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, even just hearing about his message, personality, mission, that is very important for the whole world, especially for devotees who are supposed to be following in his parampara. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, along with, of course, Srila Prabhupada, have always, since my early days in Krishna consciousness, or in my practice of Krishna consciousness, have always been my most inspirational figures. Role models, I may not follow them very well, and I have to be careful not to imitate, but to follow. They are my role models. So you might see something that I hope, after all these years of attempting to follow Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you might see something of him in me, and maybe understand me a bit better, because sometimes some of my disciples doubt some of the things I do, or how I deal with people. As I wrote in the preface, I think it was, introduction to Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Vai Bhakti. You can't expect everyone to like this book. Some people will say I've been too extreme. Others will say I'm too overly exposing what might be perceived as the faults of others. And others will say, well, you covered it up. It's a matter of perspective. So, what is that? Sarvachite araadite nara. Krishna's Kaviraj, the writer of Chaitanya Charitamrita, says, can't please everyone. That's the nature of this world, that you can't please everyone. If you try to please everyone, you probably end up pleasing no one. So we should try to please Krishna. Yeah, at that point, sometimes some of my disciples, they doubt the way I deal with certain of my other disciples. Should have smashed him. What's wrong with him? But then you see that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was very outspoken in his... he would talk very openly about disciples who were cheating him, but then in personal dealings he was... he could be very flexible and accommodating also. Sometimes to the point that his disciples, they were also surprised. Why are you allowing this to go on? So, yeah. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, this book on him is, it's a major breakthrough that even if I don't manage to produce any more books, I think, well, at least I did something valuable in this life. I'd like to produce more books. There are many more important books to come. There's that ongoing dilemma of traveling and preaching and writing, because unlike Srila Prabhupada, who traveled constantly and wrote books at night, although he sometimes would stay in one place for writing also, he was actually much more productive when he did so. But I'm not able to do that. I'm not able to travel and preach in the day and stay up at night and work on books. I'm not transcendentally empowered in that way as Srila Prabhupada was. So that's a dilemma for me. Should I travel and preach more, write books more? I'm inclined to write books more, because that's a lasting contribution that will remain even after this body is gone. It won't be much time. It takes a lot of time to write books, but this body, which according to the Gregorian calendar is today 53 years old. Well, you can't expect another 53. Maybe, but not very many. Probably not even half of 53. And for those of you who have body around the same age or a little older, you can understand that from around this age on, physically it's downhill all the way. So you can't expect optimum physical faculties. So maybe better to concentrate on writing books. But then So many times devotees come and say, "Oh, we're waiting for you to bring out the next book. Please write as much as you can and come and visit us." But you can't do both. Please forgive me if I'm not traveling as much as I was, and trying to cut down so that I can write more books. What am I working on now? Devotees often ask. Well, since Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav was published, I've been working on revising Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada's book. I've got some new material for that. And my memories of Srila Prabhupada. And the message to you for the news, so we should all be reprinted in English after some time. Then the important book that I've put on hold for many years, the Vaishnava Etiquette, Culture and Behavior, that should be my first focus. And there are other books also. The Etiquette book should be the priority. And these books, they also require to be distributed. Otherwise, what's the point of writing? Of course, Srila Prabhupada writes in one form that one should write for self-purification without the desire to be published. But I am writing for the sake of publishing. Because Srila Prabhupada told me to write philosophical and educational, so books can only educate if people take them and read them. So it is required that these books are distributed also. So you may, along with distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, you can also distribute some of my books. Definitely getting this, not just this Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, but so the books and devotees and even non-devotees are getting a response from, who are appreciating the books. Yeah, even non-devotees, this Ramayana, Gurudas was telling me that he met someone in the train who had taken that book from him or from someone, and he read it several times. And recently was forwarded a letter from a place in America where I've never been anywhere near there. And that place in America, Nashville in Tennessee, I've never been to that part of America. It's a much bigger country than India. Very good country. So I'd never been there, and devotees, this devotee was writing, said that devotees don't know anything about me, none of them have seen me, but they all know my books, Beginner's Guide to Krishna Consciousness and Brahmacharya Consciousness. So they're out and they're having their effect. So I'm grateful to all of you who are helping me in my service to Srila Prabhupada. There is progress in many ways. During the last year, Salem Temple project became solidified, a plan was accepted for the construction of the temple. Vellore, large plot of land, is being secured. Down payment has been made for the temple. Of course, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we're not interested in building buildings for the sake of building. We're not masons, means bricklayers. We're not construction workers. But temples are required for preaching. So these are steps forward, and preaching is developing here in Tamil Nadu in the areas which I'm particularly involved in. Of course, there's huge scope for developing that more and more. In Gujarat also, where I'm involved in preaching, is developing nicely, and again, huge scope. Both in the last year, both in Gujarat and Tamil Nadu, the village preaching is picked up. It's just at least we're getting some vision into the possibility of how that can expand unlimitedly. With a tremendous scope for preaching in the villages. In Goa also, I visit once a year, so some nice preaching is going on in the villages. Of course, in so many places, I just say these places, because these are some of the places which I go to and I'm involved in. So, for this widespread preaching, also it's very important that this, we're preaching so widely that we can't keep in personal contact with so many people in so many places. But already in Gujarat, in the last year, in Tamil Nadu also, in Bhagavad Darshan, the regular magazine, is started. And started under the, in both places, under the inspiration, largely, and the, particularly under the supervision of some of my disciples. So that's somewhat pleasing to me also, that I can help to serve Srila Prabhupada in this way. In Gujarat now, every time I ask, it's more, but I would say it must be over 20,000 subscribers now to Bhagavad Darshan, is it? This has okay, I think. Yeah, last time it was 17,000. It's always going up, more and more subscribers. So if the Bhagavad Darshan is actually Krishna conscious, and that's a very good tool for giving people regular updates and injections of Krishna conscious, and it gives scope also for devotees to write articles on topical issues. Nowadays there are questions about cloning and stellar cell research. What is the ISKCON position on this? So that wasn't an issue when Srila Prabhupada was here. So that's an instance of how we have to use our intelligence, understanding the philosophy that Srila Prabhupada taught us, to circumstances that Srila Prabhupada didn't deal with. So these are we should write on all these issues. That's just an example. So, Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, we have to serve them all. Our mission is to serve the acharyas and sadhus who are living according to and preaching according to Shastra. Tandira Charana Sevi, Bhakta Shari Vas, Janamai Janamai Hoi, Eyon Vas. Srila Prabhupada often quoted this. Remaining in this society of devotees, serving the lotus feet of devotees. This should be our desire, birth after birth, to continue like this. Our aim is to serve the acharyas, but actually, we should not just serve them, but we should make them widely known. Now, all over the world, Krishna, at least the name Krishna, is somewhat known. And in India, of course, the name and even to some extent, the pastimes of Krishna are widely known. But actually, even here in India, many people, they know something about Krishna, but that won't benefit them very much unless they know about Krishna through the acharyas, which in the modern age means through Srila Prabhupada, of course, through his instructions. So it's our duty to broadcast the glories of Srila Prabhupada and all the Vaishnava acharyas. We sing every Josh Kushal tribute. His glories, let them be announced, broadcast throughout the three worlds. People, they're very dull level of intelligence. They don't appreciate who is their actual benefactor. There's no doubt that in the modern age, Srila Prabhupada was the greatest sadhu, the greatest devotee, the most compassionate, the most dear to Krishna. But there's one other most, which is not so pleasing, but he's decorated with all these brilliant transcendental qualities. And he's also the most underestimated person in the modern age. So much fuss from his mother Teresa, who was in Maya, meat eater, when she died, and they think she's a great saint. I mean, we have no business to blaspheme. Our whole lifetime contribution, if magnified millions of times, doesn't even enter the realm of Srila Prabhupada's contribution, as is stated here. The thousands of karmis who have opened innumerable hospitals, old age homes, centers for the poor, and schools, and the thousands of gyanis who have undergone meditation and austerities are insignificant compared to a single Kanishta Adhikari Vaishnava once ringing the bell before the Lord's deity. Another much lauded cheater is some Tibetan Lama who is such a hypocrite. Talks about peace, and then he talks about peace and smiles. And then he walks off to eat his meat dinner. Such a hypocrite, and people say, oh, he's a great saint. What did he do, saint? He just talks about peace, and then he inflicts violence, and adds to the stock of sinful karma of the world. Srila Prabhupada has not become popular. They cannot recognize the greatness of Srila Prabhupada. People in general like, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, people, they like to be cheated. If someone comes and smiles and says, peace, they say, oh, very nice. But if you tell them the actual process to become peaceful, then we have to give up our sense of independence from Krishna and give up all sinful activities, they won't like that. They will reject it. It means people are hypocritical, and therefore they're not the greatest hypocrite as the greatest saint. And one who is their actual benefactor, they ignore him. So we should make our acharyas, as Srila Prabhupada is the representative of all the acharyas, we should make their glory is well known, which means to preach Krishna consciousness, because people actually, they can't appreciate Srila Prabhupada unless they become Krishna conscious. If we try to promote Srila Prabhupada's glories among people who are not Krishna conscious, they can't appreciate it, because they're not Krishna conscious. Just like once I gave this book, Bhamshidas Babaji, to one, I told this, to one, at the time young, now he's not very young, young businessman, Indian businessman, who looked the picture of Bhamshidas Babaji Maharaj. He looks very strange to the sophisticated, civilized people of this world. He looked at himself and thought, who is he? So he was a great Vaishnav saint. What did he do? Did he open in the implications? Did he open any factories? Did he open any hospitals? Did he open any schools? Could he sign his name? Doesn't look like it. So the person is thinking, well, I'm much more than this person. Why don't I write a book about him? I know much more of the world than this person. This person is the kind of parasite who's causing all the trouble in the world. Should you see, his parents should have sent him to school. Then he could have come and worked in my factory and earned a decent living. So they don't appreciate. I said, I replied to him, he loved Krishna. What's that? See, I'm maintaining so many people. I have so many thousands of people working in my factory. I'm maintaining them all. I'm doing more for the world than all these sadhus. That's how materialistic people think. They don't appreciate the actual acharyas. Yes, the Srila Prabhupada is so much underestimated that what he has done is far more valuable to the world than thousands of Jesuses and thousands of Buddhas and thousands of Muhammads. People don't think this. They're unfortunate. Maybe we ourselves also don't think of this. We think he's just a Bengali businessman who happened to mumble his rounds and then he became a little bit self-realized. Maybe we also think of that. Nice, quaint Bengali gentleman who didn't really know what he was talking about, but anyway, gave us some idea, and now we've understood that we may also thank him. But don't think, please. What to speak of Jesus and Buddha and Muhammad here in this place where we bow our heads down at the lotus feet of Sri Ramanujacharya. But factually, if we say, if we are to say that Srila Prabhupada's contribution is even much greater than that of Ramanuja and other great Vaishnava acharyas. Because, well, qualitatively, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given is far greater. And that's why Prabhupada Saraswati says, it's not the kind of thing that will propagate. It's mind-boggling maybe for ourselves, but from the philosophical standpoint we can understand that Prabodhananda Saraswati said, what's the use of all Vamana, Varaha, Rama, all these avatars? I mean, they didn't really do much good compared to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's his special power. No doubt, we shouldn't think that, not Vamana, we shouldn't think that, we worship Vamana, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. But at the same time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Mahavadana Avatar. What he has given to the world is more than all the other avatars previously put together. And Srila Prabhupada is his empowered representative who fulfilled Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. So this is our private matter. We need not speak, we need not speak this very widely, but we can understand that even compared to the great Vaishnava Acharyas in the Sampradayas, four Sampradayas, coming from Sri, Brahma, Kumaras, and Shiva, that Srila Prabhupada's position is even greater than theirs, although he identifies himself as their humble servant. So they're different perspectives. You should understand the greatness of Srila Prabhupada. Amen, Josh Bushan, Sri Guru. That's important work of the devotees to glorify the devotees of Krishna along with Krishna. Krishna feels himself incomplete. Although he is complete, he feels himself incomplete without his devotees. And he feels more pleased when his devotees are praised than if he himself is praised. Srila Prabhupada didn't ask to be praised, but he did ask that his books be distributed very widely, and that will be the best praise. We can organize various programs for trying to promote the glories of Srila Prabhupada, but when people read these books and understand what is the value of the message in these books, then they themselves will appreciate what Srila Prabhupada has given. And they will appreciate that his gift is of a completely different quality to anything else of this world, and therefore he can say quite rightly that any other gift other than Krishna consciousness, other than Ahaituki Apati Hata Bhakti, it's all useless. May have some very slight temporary usefulness, but that usefulness also comes out to zero if we don't utilize this human life for Krishna consciousness. As Srila Prabhupada's books, they constantly urging us to surrender to Krishna, to take up Krishna consciousness very seriously. At least that's what I get from Srila Prabhupada's books. I speak as I do and try to inculcate that in others also, because I get that from the Srila Prabhupada's books. The Srila Prabhupada himself said that ours is a pushing movement. My spiritual master is pushing me, I am pushing you, and you should push others. So the pushing is back to God. Wrong. Helping each other on the path back to Godhead. So in this Vyasa Puja festival, we're talking about our book distribution, the book distribution marathon has just finished for some, and for some it's a short break and then back. Actually, for those who are fortunate enough to be fully dedicated to book distribution as their full-time service, the marathon is not that much different. It's life as usual, but maybe a little more time out of book distribution. But any specifically, those devotees who are stationed at Algarve, just how far is that from here? 400 kilometers
something like that, northwest of here. So they'll be back on the trains. It's a good opportunity to distribute books on the trains, especially during the Ayapa season. So they'll be back to that. Remember to send your scores in. In Ceylon they're doing that now, for the last year or so, previously not. From Vela is still not sending in their scores. So, distributing books, but it's Deen Dayal, right? That's your job, you have to coordinate all of that. Okay, make sure you... Another thing is, you can write some report on maybe for one temple, and then individuals, they can give their, just like in Ceylon, this is how we did our marathon, we can give a report like that. Because it's inspiring to all the devotees everywhere, and they become inspired also to engage in that. This is Bodhyanta Paraspara. Sharing our realizations. And also individuals, just like yesterday we heard from Hare Krishna Prabhu how he distributed some books to some Muslims. And I learned something very significant, that there's scope for Urdu book distribution in Hyderabad. That means probably in all of Telangana, they get their Telangana state. Well, whether they get it or not, they can distribute Urdu books. That's right. And definitely, Srila Prabhupada is very pleased with book distribution. But if he hears about books distributed to Muslims, he'll be more pleased. No doubt. Actually, Srila Prabhupada once, he was talking about the Shuddhi movement, which was going on at that time. The Vishva Hindu Parishad at that time, or maybe it was the Arya Samaj, I can't remember, they had what they called the Shuddhi movement, in which they were trying to reconvert converted Hindus, mostly to Islam at that time, back to being Hindus. And Prabhupada, he said that why are you complaining about conversion, you see. They do what we are doing. I say, I'm going all over the world and we're preaching, we're making non-Hindus into more than Hindus. And Hindus, they just talk about Bhagavad Gita, they've got the faintest idea what's in it. Or sometimes they train their children to learn the shlokas so they can win some contest. And then they think, you know, now I'm a master, now I know Bhagavad Gita. Faintest idea what it's all about. But to actually get people to follow the light outlined by Lord Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, that Prabhupada, he said we're doing that, so why don't we go to the Muslims and get them to follow Bhagavad Gita also? That's better than rubber stamping them as a Hindu. So definitely that will be very pleasing. Very pleasing if we can distribute Srila Prabhupada's books to within India to people who do not identify themselves as Hindus, because those who don't identify themselves as Hindus within India, they generally have an anti-Hindu sentiment, especially Muslims and Christians, but often Jains also, often Sikhs also. I'm not sure about Parsis. So, yeah, just like in Gujarat, there are so many Jains. It's difficult to distribute books to Jain, right? They say, I'm a Jain, and that means no. They're not going to take on their books. So, if we can distribute books to them, and if we can bring people from these communities into Krishna consciousness, that
That would be very pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. Last time I was in Bangladesh, I saw various young girls coming in Dhaka, the capital city. Girls, young girls in their burqas, coming into the temple, bowing down. And I asked some of the local people, said, yeah, so many Muslims come, they chant Hare Krishna, they take prasad. So, Srila Prabhupada said in Bangladesh, the Muslims, they would be attracted by kirtan. And that's especially true in Bengal, because Bengalis, they're naturally attracted to kirtans. I remember once in Calcutta, I heard in the street some kirtan party, mridangas and kartals. And then I looked out, there was a huge kirtan party, and I was listening to what they were singing. It was a Christian kirtan, but it was Christmas Day. They're having a sankirtan. I don't know if they do that anymore. But sankirtan is attractive. That is, Krishna in Kali, especially in Kali Yuga, manifests himself as sankirtan. And Krishna is all attractive. So definitely people will be attracted. Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport that whenever pure devotees chant the holy names, then people are attracted. And we find that all over the world. If you go on chanting in public, then people will be attracted and appreciated. In San Diego, in America, every Friday night, more than 30 years, every Friday night, without fail, ever, devotees go and hang out in the city, where all the Friday night means all the enjoyers are out. So people are very much appreciative that devotees, that the GPC goes, the channel president goes, they leave one pujari, everyone goes, and a good night. So, we should do that. We need more and more devotees to chant, join the Sankirtan party. As more and more devotees come, it's like a snowball effect or a cube. They don't know what a snowball effect is in Tamil Nadu. They only heard of snow. It means that it increases geometrically. I hope you all know what that means. Those of you who have studied science can understand. It's just like 2 times 2 equals 4. 4 times 4 equals 16. 16 times 16 equals 256. And then, so it's like it's expanding, but not like this, but like this. So, this movement has that potential. The whole world can take to Krishna consciousness. And if we increase more and more and maintain purity, then gradually people will come to appreciate it. Especially as life in the world, by the grace of Kali Maharaj, the personality of Kali, life is becoming more and more difficult. In San Diego, Mahatma, temple president, he wrote about the recession in America, which is particularly felt in California. The greatest place, the greatest state in the greatest country, California, now there are literally millions out of work. So he said, recession, great. Let them recess more and more. Let them feel. In California, people are thinking, oh, wonderful, enjoyment. This is the land of enjoyment. You can survive the smog of Los Angeles, you could enjoy yourself like anything in California, but now there's suffering. And suffering is felt more when there's been the illusion of pleasure before. So that's good. It's good for preaching. From time to time you get news from Bangladesh how the Hindus there are being oppressed more and more. So one time in the Manipur festival, I met a devotee from Bangladesh and he said to me, "Well, the situation there is pretty tough for the Hindus right now." I said, "Yeah, it's very good." I said, "Why is it good?" He said, "Well, when the situation is difficult, the preaching is much better." So, Vibhada Santu, Tashashva, Tatra Tatra Jagantaram, Bhavatra Darshanam, Yatsyat, Apuna Bhavadarshanam. Let there, of course, Kunti was praying on her own behalf, that let there be more and more difficulties, because when there are difficulties, then we see you, Krishna, we look at you. When we see you, then we no longer have to see birth and death. So we can expect more and more difficulty in the world, that is the nature of the world, especially in Kali Yuga. Let us take that as an impetus to become more and more attached to Krishna and the process of Krishna consciousness and spreading Krishna consciousness to others. I'll finish there. It's a little early, according to the schedule. One or two questions, then we'll finish early and then we'll get straight into the rest of the program. Yeah, do we have another mic? No? You have that cordless mic? Sound man? Cordless mic? He's reading the newspaper. Cordless mic! That's how you say it, cordless mic in Tamil, right? I know it's all in Tamil word. Called phone, not cordless.
Thank you, Maharaj. What is the destination of Christians and Muslims? Which planet do they go?
Well, it's not that there's one planet that they go to. There are so many planets they could go to. It depends on the state of their consciousness at the time of death. Mostly the lifestyle which is followed by them is tamasic. So, adho gacchanti tamasaha, they go down. But inasmuch as they have faith in God, even though they don't really know who He is very well, that will help them also. It's not that there's a special planet for the Christians or a special planet for the Muslims. Although Srila Prabhupada said once he had a dream, he saw the planet where the pious Muslims go. And there are pious, definitely. I mean, there are people who, despite their lack of knowledge, they seriously believe in God as they understand it through these cultures. So that helps them also. Yeah. Yeah, speak loudly and I'll repeat it. Yesterday we had a cordless mic. What happened to that? No reply. Okay, yeah, please speak your question.
Maharaj, sometimes when I go to prostitution, many people say that I am a Buddhist, so I am a Jain. So I say that.
Did I say what?
I am a Buddhist, so I am a Jain.
You say I'm a Buddhist, you get lots of Buddhists.
Yeah, so.
Where is that?
Lord doesn't propose that we should follow particular sect in order to gain this knowledge and attain the Supreme Goal of life.
So I don't understand. You say something and then they say something else to counteract.
So
don't expect to convince everyone on the spot philosophically.
They said that Buddha is the incarnation of the Supreme Lord. So you are also calling the Supreme Lord, we are also calling the Supreme Lord. So what to say?
In that case, actually generally Buddhists don't say that he's an incarnation, at least in Buddhist countries they don't say that. They say, yeah, well, that's good, you're following me. So God is unlimited, you can take more information about him. You could, for instance, say that those who appreciate him will want to know more about him. There's a suggestion. Where do you meet many Buddhists? Maharashtra?
In Ahmedabad, there are many Buddhists.
Where?
Ahmedabad.
There are many Buddhists in
Ahmedabad. Not many.
Not many.
Sometimes. Like when
Jains there.
In many going flats there.
Many Jains. Buddhists.
Hare Krishna. Srimad, you mentioned about the new philosophy which is going around this.
Well, I don't know if it's gone around, but I heard that
it has. You know,
I guess someone at some point had to dream that up.
As a hypothetical question, what should your disciples do if they are closely associated with people who are...
If they are what associated? Closely?
If they are closely associated...
I wouldn't closely associate with people who have such strange ideas.
Then
you might have to tolerate them. I don't closely associate
with it. In yesterday's lecture, you have made the Drona disciple kind of thing. Like, you have explained that they may not be healed, but they will be benefited to some level. But when they get some meditative position, they cause harm to the many.
Yeah, that's also there. Someone who's not understanding Krishna consciousness but are not very seriously taking it to heart, but they nevertheless gain some position, they may inhibit the Krishna consciousness of others. And that's not uncommon, actually, within our movement, that devotees of sorts in positions of leadership, they may not even be aware of it, but their position of leadership inhibits others from becoming. It has more of an inhibiting tendency than a nourishing tendency. So, what to do in such cases? Many times we can't do that. Many times we may just have to tolerate that and do the best we can under the circumstances. I've discussed all these things in various seminars. The basic point that in an organization, often the people who take position are the people who want position for the wrong reason. Generally, people who are genuinely spiritually inclined, they don't want any position. And generally those who want a position are those who are not very spiritually inclined. So we get an ostensibly spiritual organization being run by not very spiritual people, and then the whole organization becomes not very spiritual. Anyway, as I said, we have to do the best we can under the circumstances. On the other hand, we require us an organization for preaching. And if we don't start another organization, the same syndrome will take place in that also. It's just a quirk of this material world. Doesn't mean that every leader is materialistic. Some of them. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. We'll finish there.